I see on TikTok, they're like, we're quitting. Do you hate your job? Is your boss mean?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I don't know.
You think Lauren was like, David, come here, sit on my knee. You seem stressed because you haven't been on 15 shows in a row. He doesn't give a fuck. He goes, you're weak. Leave.
100%. Cheers.
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. Wow, how have I been living like this? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless. When Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month, when you purchase a three-month plan, more like, wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. We use Mint Mobile at the office, and we have been saving so much money since switching over, and setting up on Mint Mobile's website was super easy. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bears. That's mintmobile.com/bears. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bears. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
You're impressed, dude.
I'm impressed with the set, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I walked in here, I'm like, what am I, a set of Avatar 3? So much shit in electronics. This is really the future.
Yeah, man, this is the future.
I actually saw it on YouTube. I wanted to do my research. And so I was like, hey, who's Tom Segura and who's Bert Kreischer? Mm-hmm. And so I go, let's just start there.
Yeah.
And then it might have been an old one because you had to up, it was paper behind you. And it was like,
that actually, no, that is actually kind of recent. So okay. What happened was we used to do them all here. Then we moved to Austin. Bert didn't move there, but I moved there.
Okay.
And since it's my operation, I had a studio built. And they told us, I don't know if you've ever had some construction done on a home or something. Yeah, and they're like, it'll be done. And then it was time to be done. They're like, it's just five more months.
So five then, more months.
Then we started to we did a purposely shitty set. So we would just tape.
I kind of like that though.
Yeah. Because I think everyone likes it more.
Because when you see a shitty show, you're like, it's going to have a shitty set.
Yeah.
And then it sort of all makes sense. No, your show is funny. And, I will make fun of you guys, even though I don't know you well enough to make fun of you guys.
I think you do.
I know Bert a hair better,
mm-hmm.
but...
From the store?
No. Yeah, when he used to work at AMPM.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get Abba Zabba's from him. Uh-huh. No, he could easily work at a store, and he probably will.
He probably will. He's on a binge right now. It's 6 years.
Of doing what?
Just eating and drinking. Yeah.
I was thinking, you're married, and I go, hey, Bert can't be. He's not putting someone through that, is he?
Oh, yeah.
He's married?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Get her on the phone. We have to find out that just, whatever. No, I love Bert.
She's a saint. She really is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got
to
be.
I mean, he tapes his toenails to the bottom of the coffee table in the living room, you know.
It's got to be a whole thing.
It's a lot. It's a lot, man.
I wish he was here just so I could make fun of him because he's a good laugher. But
he's a great laugher. And he's like, I would encourage you because he'll definitely watch this to make fun of him as much as you can.
Oh, okay. I think he seems okay because I watched one of yours on the YouTube.
Yeah, the YouTube is very, it's very modern.
And, it's it definitely needs to be filmed. It jumps off the screen. No, because I'm only saying that to bust your balls because I am doing a podcast now and it's a little harder than I thought. And I don't film it and I want to.
It's the Flytrap, the new one with you and
yes, it's fucking asshole. I'm the guest and you will be nice to me and then I will be mean to you. That's how it works.
Oh, okay.
I've done
Fly Swatter with you and
fly
Dana.
Fly on the wall.
Oh, fly on the wall.
Even Dana goes, that's pretty funny. I don't get it. I go, well, it's not really funny. It's just someone told me once when we were doing one of the sound guys, one of these like these idiots in the back.
Yeah.
These DeVry guys, they go, hey, it was fun to hear you guys talk. It was like being a fly on the wall. And I go, oh, that might be an interesting way to say it because we could have a goofy title. Like we had a million titles are hard to come up with. And then I go, fly on the wall just seems like, all right, you're in on this dopey conversation of comedians. And so that's kind of what stuck. But we don't film it, which I don't love. Because I think me and Dana are like, he does a lot of impressions and just sort of animated. And the guests, I like seeing a guest. Like I watched when I watch YouTube, I just like watching it even if there's not that much going on. It's just fun to watch. I don't know why.
I like so we did when we started doing podcasts, it was I started in 2010 and it was audio only, right? Then the idea of video, I was like, that just seemed silly. It was actually Dopey McJewface.
These clowns. Who that's my screen name and my password. Go
ahead. he was actually the one who encouraged me to do it and who put up clips. And now, dude, you have to have video.
I know, but you know what? It might turn to that. You know, Dana and I are old friends. You know Dana Carvey from the old SNL. I'm pretty sure you do. He's
yes,
a legendary dude.
And of course.
I started with Dana, you know, when he was already on. And he was just a really good version of me. That was the hardest part. It's like...
You're like...
It was like I was sort of brought in, apparently, to light a fire.
You guys have like a similar...
Yeah, I'm like a less energy, less talented. And he was perfect for SNL because... You know, growing up, SNL wasn't even in my dream.
No?
You know, it wasn't on my vision
board. Were you like, usually I think most people, especially who get into comedy, but maybe like everybody has a class, like, you know, one that they were like, this is the one that I...
Yeah.
That I've...
Of comics? You mean you watch?
Well, it's like when SNL's been on for like 130 years.
When you're saying that, and your era.
Like, your era, yeah. So like you... are the one that I was it, like obsessed with.
Yeah, thank you. I think that would fall right around there, right?
Yeah, because I think, and the class was nuts because it was you, Farley, Spade, Rock, Neil, like it was insane to me. So I've seen, you know, I get it now, like that I'm older, that people like kind
like
of-
Like SNL. Yeah.
Well, that they pick up, like they're like, well, for me, it's from 2012 to 2016 or something.
It's sort of what I would guess is when you were maybe in high school or college, and you were talking about it with your buddies, you had a common denominator, you'd stay home and you'd watch it, and you really were into it. And then once you have stuff to do, or you get a little older, or you don't talk about it with the same people, you just sort of fade out of it and you catch it here and there. But you really related because it was around the same age group as the cast members maybe. And then when Dana, Dennis Miller, Lovitz, all these guys that were great, Phil Hartman, they were leaving, we came in. And it was kind of good because now and then it's like they pepper in one a year and there's not really a cast, you know, like this chunk.
Right.
You could say Kristen Wiig, you can say Kate McKinnon is on right now. There's obvious standouts and people that are always still really good on the show. But we sort of lucked into, you know, I didn't know. I wasn't a writer per se, I was a stand-up, you know. And you probably maybe were the same way where you're thrust into saying, I'm on SNL now, which I never thought, and I don't write sketches. And nobody gives a fuck. So here's a legal pad and a brown desk. Not this shitty, but it was like really, no. Why do I do this to you? You're the nicest.
Dude, I
love
it.
Care. You don't care.
I don't care.
It's kind of what's expected. Yeah,
please.
I don't know why I can't help it.
No, dude, I love it.
And so
it helps that you have that like Larry Ellison facial hair. It looks fucking.
What is this shit? God damn, it looks old.
No.
Let me tell you.
Looks like Iron Man.
All kidding aside, and there's a mirror, which is a fucking mistake.
And you have a fucking amazing head of hair, you son of a.
No,
bitch.
This hair right this second looks good because I haven't.
Because it was $40,000.
Yeah, $140,000. Now my biggest mistake was making it the Tommy Boy joke where it blows back, and then from then on everyone's like, "What the fuck is going on?" But that, by the way, just a side note, in that movie, I think you saw for sure.
I saw that movie, not kidding, maybe 150 times.
Oh God, that's so nice. I love that, man. So that movie.
A lot of people take 7 years to graduate college.
That's a good one. See, I had a couple lines too. Obviously this is Farley's movie and I make no qualms about it. I was so lucky.
No, dude, you had the best fight's
good,
the line
that
after.
Was a good one. That was a great
is
one.
That, yeah, they're called doctors. Yeah, yeah.
That was fun. And then there was a scene where we walked by this big fan. That was a 23 hour shoot that night.
Really?
BTS.
Wait, can I ask you this? Because how old were you when you shot that?
I was probably, that was like my third year of SNL. I was probably 28, maybe.
Oh my God.
Such a little fucking punk-ass bitch. And I still am.
Did you think that like you had won the lottery? Like this is unbelievable?
No, I didn't quite get how lucky I was.
Really?
I was luckily on SNL.
And I mean it like, I don't mean like you're really lucky. I just mean like that you're that age and you're on SNL.
Oh,
you're doing
over
movies,
time, like, it really sinks in of like, how fucking lucky were we? Because I got SNL and I was a stand-up. I was a middle. And to get SNL as a middle, so is Schneider.
And did you do it? Did you, like, there's all these the famous tryouts.
Wait,
like
we mean middle act for the audience. Middle act is like not a headliner. I had about 30 minutes of material.
He was a...
I was a...
Right, so...
A Bert.
Right, so...
A middle that headlines. Yeah.
So...
And no, yes, it was a tough tryout. It was, you know, Schneider was a buddy, and I lived with Kevin Nealon, who you mentioned before we got in here.
I love Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon, who's dry, funny act. He's and I would so see him at the improv, and I was like watching. Luckily, I was probably 20 when I walked in the improv and got in when I was 20 and started doing, you know, hosting and shit. Not really anything. Just do, Bud would go do five up front and then, you know, just stay here till fucking 2 a.m. and introduce
God
people.
Damn.
So it's a tough job, but I was like, fuck yeah, I get to do it. So $30 is $30. So I did it, and then Nealon, riser, you know, the chalkboard at the improv they used to have, Leno, Seinfeld, like you could see really good acts. And Nealon, I always thought was great. He had some fucking funny dry jokes. And it was sort of a different style that I like, you know, that I kind of research papered into my own life and my own act. And Dana, a little bit, but he's a San Fran guy. So Nealon, out of the blue one night, goes, I was saying, I was living with John Mulrooney or something, this comic, and I got kicked out. And he goes, oh shit, you know, I'm actually got SNL now. You know, do you want to rent my room? I live in a house with Bob Duback, this other comedian, and Dana Carvey, who lives above the garage. And I said, oh yeah, sure. So I rented his, and when he'd come back on breaks, he'd sleep on the couch. Nicely, he didn't kick me out. He would stay there. And then I met Dana, and Dana would tell us war stories about SNL. And then eventually down the line, still never crossed my mind to be on. I'm not an impressionist. I'm not like a high energy sketch player or whatever. And then they just saw me on the HBO Young Comedian special. Did you ever see that?
I used to watch all those.
Those are cool, right? Yeah. That was like the only game in town. So if you got that.
Those were the shit. And then you'd have sometimes, like, there'd be the ones that really the sets would like kill. And you're like, oh my God. I get like obsessed with them. Yeah.
And sometimes you go, I could do this. Like someone would hit an off night and you go, they're not that great, but.
And that's for sure is one taping, right? Back then?
No, it was two.
They let you type two shows?
Two sets, yeah.
Wow, I didn't expect that.
And when I did mine, I missed it 3 years in a row. And they would have like Richard Belzer. I'm like, what if we had just young comedians on the Young Comedian special? You know, I would miss out and I go, oh, you know, Jeff Altman got it. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I was probably 22, 23, and I kept missing it. And it goes a whole year, and then the improv, they're going to look again. And I only got it because Brad Gray was my manager and Mark Gervitz, and they were producing it finally. Fucking nepotism, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and Dennis Miller was a host who I love, was my favorite comedian, but he also liked me and had me open for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
a lot of people's favorite comedy. I don't think a lot of people know that now.
Back then.
Yeah.
He was fucking
Dennis
unreal.
Killer, yeah.
I opened for one of his maybe Off-White special or one of those specials. Anyway, so he helped. And they had to pick five people, and I was sixth. And I was like, God damn, I'm not on. And then Dennis and Brad and Gervitz said, just give Spade, split them up a little bit and get Spade, do six. And that's how I got on. And it was a fucking miracle because I wouldn't have got on. And so—
And so wait, they watched that set?
They came to the improv and they knew of me because I'd done it, you know, three times and I missed the cut, but I kept getting closer, like the Hall of Fame or something. Mm-hmm. I got more votes. And then— That year they go, you just missed it. They picked five, but you were six. And I'm like, fuck. And so then they go, because they produced it and Dennis was on it. Dennis is like, give Spudley a fucking break. Cut a minute off everyone. Give him fucking 6 minutes. So they did.
Wow.
So we went out and did it. And then I had two good sets. So they put it on. We all got about the same amount, I guess. David Bowie in the audience of all.
Really?
Crazy things, yeah. I think he knew Dennis.
Did you have a good set?
Had a good set.
It's and always then, nice when someone like that's in the audience and you have a good set.
And then he was like, comedy fan, nice.
Then
I kept seeing him.
Yeah.
He knew Bobcat.
I had Matt Damon once.
Oh, like a guy.
And I didn't know he was
guy
there.
Like you. Yeah,
you know what I mean? He was like, he goes, thank you. And I go, thank you.
For your
like, for what you just did. I was like, well, that was a weird way to say good set. But like, I've also had, they're
and
like,
you,
oh,
and
here's,
you know, you know,
here's
supposed...
P.T. Anderson. And I just fucking bombed.
Oh, yeah.
So hard in front of him.
And then he goes, I'm angry at you.
Yeah.
I'm not thanking you.
I'm not thanking you.
By the way, he lives out here.
Who does?
PT.
He lives here?
He and Maya live pretty close to right here.
Really?
In this mystery location.
Yeah. Okay. Well, give him a call, man. Tell him to come over.
They could. He's a fucking stud. And Maya's hilarious. Maya and I think overlapped. Or she was there when I hosted. Anyway, we're jumping around. But I auditioned with Schneider. They saw the young comedians. And so that gave me a little heat.
Mm-hmm.
It's all heat in this biz, folks.
Yeah.
You got to have a little fucking nudge. By the way, HBO specials were big back then because it was only network and HBO pretty much.
HBO was the mountaintop.
Maybe the E Channel, maybe MTV, but for specials.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, they had the Rodney Dangerfields, which was better.
Yeah, yeah.
But those
were like 1 hour specials. There was four a year.
Oh, and when I got my early 1 hour special, it was probably, it took till after SNL because I had to get an hour together. I didn't have
That's
it.
A great special.
And then I get it, thank you. And then I got that probably during Just Shoot Me, the next show I did. And then that was so fun because a lot of people saw it because of what we're saying is like, it was the only game in town. Like you watch a special, the one HBO where Eddie Murphy had one and Billy Crystal and all those people. So you got eyeballs because nothing else going on. Now, you know, it's jury duty. But a lot of people are doing specials and a lot of people are doing them online. A lot of people are doing different ways. My last one was on Comedy Central. I took that whole time. I didn't do one.
Because mm-hmm.
I want to try to do it right. And, you know, it wasn't. And plus, there was no huge demand. They weren't calling me to do it all the time. So when I went out with one, Netflix was just starting to do them.
Yeah.
And they didn't call back immediately. Mm-hmm. And Comedy Central did. And I said, just take that one. They wanted yeah. more. And it was, honestly, it wasn't that much money. It was just like, I just want to do one.
Yeah.
But it has commercials. And they only air it once in full at midnight.
Yeah.
So now I'm doing a Netflix special. I'm like, I just want to do that fucking set again because no one really saw it. You know, it drives you bananas. Everyone goes, now that's in the garbage. I go, I'm not really from the school of throw your whole set in the garbage.
When do you shoot the new one?
I don't know when this airs, but today is 2018. So
right.
I will be doing it in 2022. And I think it airs in probably April.
So, oh, so you already shot it though?
No, I'm doing it in 2 weeks.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Where
and
at?
I haven't done it. I'm in Minneapolis.
And have you been touring? There? Minneapolis is the best comedy
I've city. Heard it's good. It was in Austin. Ooh. Is that where you live?
Mm-hmm.
It was in Austin. Ba, ba, ba. Austin, that's where I'm from. Well, moved. I'm going to Austin this Friday.
Are you?
You can take this out. This will be gone. But yeah, I will have already. I just
Are
went
you
to
working
Austin.
There?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where are you
I'm
playing?
Doing
the Paramount?
Paramount Junior.
Paramount Junior,
theater next door.
Actually, there is a little theater next door.
No, it's Paramount. I played it once during the Moon Valley special.
Yeah, yeah,
that thing, and mm-hmm. It was great. So I'm going back there. That was the special, and with all the hijinks of masks and mandates, Austin said no.
Ah,
yeah.
All right, let's have dinner. I'll take you to dinner.
Oh, I'll be out there. Will you be there?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, that'd be fun. And then I do that. And then I go to Omaha a week later and then Minneapolis. But I never feel like I'm fucking ready. How were you like this?
Dude, it's always kind of terrifying.
And by the way, my last one for Comedy Central, we go, you know, we're scouting locations. And I go, oh, we did it at a theater here. But it was like Music Box Theater, which was Henry Fonda or something theater. By the 101, kind of a scuzzy area. And I'm like, when it wasn't like set up with theater seats, it was blank where they just cram people in like the Foo Fighters are doing a surprise show.
Yeah.
So it holds about, you know, 800, but they jam it on like, they put chairs in
mm-hmm.
and the stage, the only problem was the stage is about 4 feet up for these bands. This is too high. It's
too
like
high.
Here.
Yeah.
And they're putting a chair right here to watch me. And I go, I don't mind this place. It's kind of cool, a little balcony, but I want the stage lower. So I'm like more relatable. And they go, hey, we do anything you want. You point to it. We do it. I go, okay. So I come that day, I go, hey, the stage is still 5 feet high. They go, yeah, it didn't move. I go, the one fucking thing I asked, no one mentions it. Yeah, no one says, hey, remember the one thing everything was fucking riding on?
Yeah.
Well, so I'm up there going, hey, guys. And then the crowd's weird, staring at me straight up.
They're looking up your nose and shit.
And it wasn't a comedy club and it wasn't a theater. It was sort of a fucking El Camino. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't a truck. It wasn't a car.
Do you know the name of the place you're doing in Minneapolis?
I think it's a good theater. It's like a...
They have great... They have
more? No.
No, they have a state theater.
Oh, that was Seattle.
They have Orpheum.
It's on my website if one of these clowns wants to fucking stop Goldbricking.
Take him 15 minutes, but
click.
Oh, the Pantages. That's where you're doing it.
Is that something?
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. But you know, we didn't even say I'm doing my special there. Should we say that?
I don't know. We can take it out.
No, we don't say it when I'm there. Like, we don't say, hey, we're doing a special screen, you know, whatever.
Oh, you're not saying that you're taping?
Yeah, I don't know. Why should I? I don't know.
Yeah, that always helps.
People I think it would help, right? Because people go, ooh, I want to be part of that, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. We'll do my fucking shit show there.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, though. I did Seattle the other night at the Moore Theater. That's what I was thinking of.
Fantastic.
Old theater, great, good crowd. I was scared because there's riots there 24 hours a day, all time in the whole city.
Yeah.
That's what I think when I go there. Yeah. And then I go, where's the riots? And they go, oh, they're over there.
What is that, Third Street? That is like chaotic and it's just
terrifying.
People spray paint like fuck you on the buildings.
Yeah, and they're like, don't mind that. I go, and then Portland too, they go, I walk out of my hotel and they go, I wouldn't walk left. I go, God damn it, is this it? Everything's boarded up. Apple store has fucking barbed wire on it.
Oh,
I go,
yeah, that's fucking
how many
crazy.
People need a nano?
Wait, so I want to go back to,
please
tell me, because I always imagine this has to be one of the most amazing moments, or maybe looking back on it, when you get a call that you got SNL.
So that was, they fly us out to Catch Rising Star, which was an old cool club. I don't even know if it's still there.
Catch?
You've heard of Catch.
Yeah, New York.
Is it still there?
I don't know. I think so.
Cool club. I knew Sandler a little bit from the Valley. We were doing stand-up. I knew Judd Apatow. Drake Sather was a good buddy. I don't know if you ever saw his stuff. He passed away. He's great.
Yeah,
he was on the special.
One of my friends knew him and showed me all this tape of him.
Oh, him?
And it was like dark, but biting jokes. It's
fucking
really
great
funny.
Jokes.
And he wrote for television, I think, too.
Yeah. Right? He wrote that cartoon I did called Sammy about my deadbeat dad a long time ago, which was too rough for network TV.
Yeah.
But Drake was great. So Drake was on. No, it was just me, Rob. We got a call to go to New York after a showcase, and Tom Kenny. Poor Tom Kenny. I always tell the story. He's a great comic. He's a San Francisco guy, killed, landed on his feet hard with fucking SpongeBob. So he's fine.
Oh, yeah.
He does the voice of SpongeBob.
Oh, yeah. That worked out.
So he worked out. But, you know, Dennis Miller, right before I walked up, he goes, Spade, because, you know, how terrifying you're going to catch. It's not full anyway.
Yeah.
There's probably 15 people there. And then here comes a contingent of 20.
Yeah.
Lauren, Dennis Miller, some writers, some, you know, random SNL people, talent. I'm just fucking shitting. And I'm like, Schneider, come on. We got to do 20. So I go up. I'm first. I do 12 and I get off because I'm not doing good.
Mm-hmm.
Sickening. Like you just go, my special I did for Comedy Central. The first minute I was getting to this, sorry, I'm jumping around, but I was getting into it because it wasn't really a club. And the gross feeling of doing you can read a crowd so fast. There's no buzz when I'm walking out. There's no chat. There's no fun. There's no music. I walk out and the first joke does okay. And I'm like, this is going to be a hard set.
Yeah.
God damn it. Because you know on the road, you're like, tough crowd, tough shit. You know, I'm getting paid to do this. I'll plow through. I might be able to get them toward the end and wear them down. And this was like, you are shitting me. My special is a tough crowd?
Yeah, I know.
These are my fucking fans? Jesus Christ.
So the first special I did was a papered room. Right.
Oh,
so,
you papered it? Okay.
I mean, like, I couldn't sell the tickets. Mm-hmm. It was in Minneapolis, actually, and it was a small theater where they usually do like ballet and like. Yeah. So when I'd done
all your ballet fans
150 or 200 shows leading up to it, but not as a ticket seller, and I fucking was, but I was in comedy clubs.
Yeah.
And like the sets would go well. The worst set of those 200 shows was the taping.
Yeah, God damn. And it's so, you want to say I'm better and people go, it was good. And you're like, if you would compare it, they don't know, like first show, second show, you go, the first one was better. But combining the two, you can usually get a decent set. And if you have to pepper it with laughs, it's so gross.
Oh yeah.
I go, you guys, I'm going to look away while you do this. I'm going to walk out front. Give me the look. And then they look and they would put in like, wah! And I go, you're kidding me. That joke has never done that good. It's so embarrassing. And the people watching were like, what the fuck, dude? It's like the Arsenio crowd. Like, wah! Throwing bodies in the air. So here I am at SNL rebombing. It's sort of a pattern. I'm just kicking myself upstairs. I just keep getting hired. So back then it was okay to be white and I was like, this is great news. and Schneider, I did 12, and then didn't do well, got off. But I tell you, right before I walked on, Dennis, I go, hey, man, this is scary. He goes, hey, man, he's always so cool. He goes, by the way, you don't want to kill too hard. It throws a red flag. And I'm like, okay, I'm going on in 3 minutes. Don't do good or do good. Spudley, it's just, you don't want to be a polished fucking road hack. And I get it now, like, they were just looking at my writing of my jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to kill, but the truth is, they just liked sort of the wording and, you know, yeah, the stuff that you would look at now.
Sure.
You know, when you see someone like Tom, if you're watching, if we go in the back of the Comedy Store and you watch, you can tell if someone's good in two jokes. It's like, name that tune. You go, that first one, you go, oh. And then you go, let's see if it's a fluke. Yeah, then they do a second one. Sure. You go, okay, there's some game.
Yeah.
And even if they don't work, which they sometimes don't.
Right.
You go, that's good. Yeah. Shit, that's good. And that's just takes years of watching and doing it. And
you can see somebody just destroy and you can be like,
horrible.
Yeah.
By the way, I saw Sebastian. I'm not putting on the end of the destroy is bad. I'm saying I was at the store and I was just walking out and he came on and I'd never seen him. So I just stopped like you do all the time. Just go, oh, I haven't seen this guy. And I stayed. I kept going. I start laughing going, have I never seen this fucking guy?
Yeah.
And I was killing and just doing his regular shit. But I was going, this guy's great. Then I went to see him another night. I go, oh, he's on. I got to go in there and watch him. So that happens. You know, you see someone. So they watched us. They thought Rob and I wrote well. And Tom Kenny did 20 and he did great. Mm-hmm. And I think we got that call. We were staying at the Omni Berkshire where they put you up. But I think we got it at Catch because I think we were at a payphone. And then they called and said, hey, Schneider was on the phone. And he said, we got it. And he hung up. So I didn't even get on the phone.
What?
I'm remembering.
Tell Dave, he'll
be. It was Bernie Brillstein and Brad Gray and Gervis. They were our managers. And they go,
I mean, I think I'd be like, can I get my call too?
I know. I go, what's going on? He's like, you don't say, Who was it? They didn't say. So he goes, looks like we got it. It's great. We're writer performers. I go, oh no. What does that mean? He goes, that's what Chevy Chase was. I go, fuck, I don't want to be a writer. I want to just be the John Bonet on there. Yada, da, 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 da. Ah, my Yankee Doodle. You know, I go, I have charisma like her. And so I said, she wasn't a writer as far as I remember. I've never read that. No, she wasn't. You know that. You're confirming. She wasn't a writer.
She definitely wasn't.
So she just did stuff that was good. But, you know, so I said, what am I writing? And they go, there's 4 more shows this year. They want us to come watch one and then start. Fucking already shitting. I go, what the fuck am I going to do? Write? God. And that's why I went in and, and Schneider and I were buddies, you know, we went in there and did.
You got to have a buddy. I'm assuming how much that helps when
terrifying.
You start. But that'd be the worst.
But you go in and they go, and Jim Downey, who's a legendary great writer, not just because he has his rep is good because it's real. Like I saw it every day. He's very good. And you just learn a lot. And he goes in and they give you a notepad, yellow legal pad. There's no computers. Mm-hmm. And you just get a wood desk and you go, why don't you guys share this office? And then that's it. And they go, there's a writing meeting at 1. And we came in at 1 the next day, and no one comes in till 5. Look like we're fucking assholes, like pledges. And then they have the Monday meeting, and they go, the host, I think the first week was maybe Corbin Burnson or, I think my first 4 before the summer, Corbin Burnson, it's a good warm up. Alec Baldwin, he won an Emmy for that one. So that was a great one to get. This is before he was shooting everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. Yeah. So horrible.
I know.
It's unfortunate.
He's killed a lot of people.
He's...
Him, Garth Brooks, a lot.
Garth Brooks has?
I think so. That's the rumor.
That's the rumor? I can't even... I'm just spinning that I even said that. Okay, so Alec Baldwin was fucking great.
By the way, when you say he's great, is that one of those things when you look back where you could tell, like, that first meeting, you're like, this is going to be good?
Shoot someone?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
Now, I could tell that first meeting that he had a star quality that you hear about, and I was like, God damn. Black hair, grease back, blue eyes, black turn. Like, he just did Hunt for Red October. This is the trick, too. They just screened it for us. We come from the screening into the meeting. And I'm like, that's a fucking guy from that memory.
Yeah.
And he's a badass. He's like, listen, here's, we're gonna nuke the shit out of him. And he's so cool. Yeah. And he's in there, just relaxed movie star. And he's not really an old school movie star. He's very new.
Yeah.
But he's very cool and confident. Nice to every writer. Loved to write. Went in every room. You know, the host walks out. You pitch him your fake ideas because no one's really ready. And then he goes around with the writers. He goes to dinner. Actually, Monday, he just leaves. And then you can write if you want. No one does for some reason. And then Tuesday you come in and you're just stressed all the way till Wednesday read through. You write all the way through. And you also don't have a computer, so I'd write until 4 a.m. Then I didn't finish. I go home, sleep 2 hours, write a little more, and then drive back in a cab, hand it into the Mad Men girls to type it in the computer and put it in script format, and then drive home and sleep for an hour and then drive back. You couldn't email anything in.
Damn.
Yeah, it's fucking work. Hear that, kids? You know what work is? Do you get it? You don't get it.
Jokes.
They would be like, it's stressful. So they go, oh, we'll change the whole system.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know it was stressful. You know what was stressful? Every fucking job I had in my life. I like kids go, I hate my job. I see on TikTok, they're like, we're quitting. Do you hate your job? Is your boss mean?
Yeah.
I got bad news. Every boss is
Bosses are mean.
And they don't ask me on my day, what's happening?
I don't know.
You think Lauren was like, David, come here, sit on my knee. You seem stressed because you haven't been on 15 shows in a row. He doesn't give a fuck. He goes, you're weak, leave. It's just the way it was. And it's, yeah. I feel like it should be that way a little bit.
Yeah. Wait, who was the worst that you feel comfortable saying?
Like as a guest? Host?
Yes, host, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, first those first four were Alec, and then I think the third one was Dice.
Oh.
Who, God, I think it was that early. Dice was so famous, he was selling out the Garden, which never happened.
That was the unheard
I mean, guys
thing.
Like you sell out the Garden.
No, I don't.
No, you don't?
No.
You just did four shows at the fucking Rhyme. Is that a lie?
No.
Was that to make me feel bad?
No.
Because I felt bad.
No, in Seattle, though?
I did the Ryman, and I told him, I go, I did the Ryman, and it went pretty good.
But you were in Seattle at the Moore.
Yeah.
I was at the Paramount, which is the bigger theater, and I did five there.
I wanted to do more at the Moore, you fucking asshole. I don't like to work that hard, Tom.
No, I don't either.
God damn.
Works hard.
I just didn't know you were allowed to do five.
Yeah, but they just don't let you sometimes.
No, they told me we sold out at the very last minute. So that's good. So anyway, it's not even about selling out or doing shit. It isn't. I hope it's not. No, I'm more of a novelty. So I got on the fucking SNL. Anyway, the hosts were always, the best hosts were the ones just up for anything. Just Alec again.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks. There's a bunch that just said, hey, let's do it. And it's fun because, you know, this Dana Carvey podcast we threw together is to be on it. This is our criterion.
Oh yeah. I'm a fly. It's David Spade and Dana Carvey. You should see it. Or just listen to it. There's no video yet, but it's going to be good.
It's actually, you have to crank it like this. Put the horn up. No, they say those are good though, just to listen. I guess. Yeah. I don't even know.
They're great.
You're the podcast world. I don't know. I just know. I want to do
I'm
one
I'm glad
for
you're
years.
Doing it.
And Dana and I would have dinner and I go, he's so fun to talk to. And he doesn't do much. It's kind of fun. And then we know so many SNL people from writers. So we said, let's just kind of have an SNL slant. It doesn't have to be for sure. But if you're a writer, a music act, a host or a performer. Cast member,
yeah, yeah.
And that's most of the town.
Yeah.
Because everyone's done something or audition.
So they come over to the house and you guys.
They just... don't. I just do it like this on my Zoom at my house. We're all so old, it's unbelievable, like the way we all don't know how to do it. And then Dana does Zoom in his house, you know, until COVID's over. It's, you know what? COVID, there's some downside to it. And I didn't think that the first year.
No.
No, no one did. And now I'm like,
have you had it?
I just got the new Dodge Omicron.
Yeah.
Bits, Chiron. You have been subjected to bits. Ah, fuck. I have had COVID, and because I'm so fucking HR tough and stuff, I didn't go down for the count. But I did do it, and I had to do a fucking test to do something on Kimmel, and I'd done 50 on my show. I mean, I just do it all the time. So they go, you have to get a fucking swab before you go to Tahoe. So I do it, go to the plane, go there, and then you get it. I'm like,
yeah.
It's just so tough.
It sucks, dude.
I know, the crowd. I was going to tell the crowd during the show, and then I spaced. Anyway, we all got it, literally every person. And it's a lesson to them. It's their fault.
It's their fault.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
Why? There was someone, forget it. But anyway, that's not why we're here. We're going to make fun of Bert. I thought that was the whole...
I was kind of hoping you'd do it more.
I know. Well, I did see the YouTube, and I have to say, when he took a sip of coffee, it was like a car chase for that YouTube. It was like, oh, he's like, hey, Bert. Hey, Tom. Did you drive here today? Yeah. Yeah, actually, my wife dropped me out. Took a sip. I'm like, okay, something's happening. Here we go.
Yeah.
We're into it. But you had a guy do Morgan Freeman. He was good.
That guy. Yeah.
I love impressions.
We got to give him a shout out again.
I'm the biggest fucking fool. I love impressions. Dana does them every episode. He just starts doing them. We had
Josh
some good
Robert
people.
Thompson. Sorry.
Is that his name?
That's his name. Yeah, I always forget.
He was good.
He's good.
And then he stopped being on and it was bad again. Just trying to recall in my head. It was bad. He came on, then he went off, and then bzz, fucking these two dial tones. I can't even say it with straight face. No, it's good because I like that you're not trying. And that's an angle.
I've done that. Yeah.
I'm the king of it.
You're the king of that.
You're like, you two aren't trying, and then it pays off. It's literally if a kid goes, you know what, I'm just going to walk down the street and see if I find $1 million. And then they do. And that's what you guys did. You go, holy shit. We got $1 million. It worked, man. Fuck. It doesn't always.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Called DraftKings.
Yeah.
So listen, no, you guys are always funny. And you were going to be on Lights Out in the old days.
Yes.
We had your lovely wife.
Yeah.
Very funny. And we had Bert, who was always energetic and fun.
But it was always a scheduling thing.
I know.
I wanted to do it.
I took no offense. I just said, all these comedians that we like, we'd love to come on. And if it works, it works. And I think you probably would have come on. You probably would have had fun.
I definitely would have.
It's actually a hard show to do for me. Every day, yeah. Talk about hard. Fuck, you get up, you go in, you grind. You know, it's emails all the way in. Like, here's a subject, here's a... Get in, hour-long meeting, blah, blah, blah. Just so it looks easy.
I just remembered something. Was your sketch also Bye-Bye?
Bye-Bye!
I fucking love that
fucking spadoodle. Yeah, Fred Wolf and I wrote that.
The best thing about that, too, is that I was at the age where we would just get... Because I said you were like my era. Mm-hmm. So you get to school on Monday, and it's just like...
Oh, and everyone says Bye-Bye?
Well, it's like you and your crew. It's like, we're funny. So we would...
We would
just basically redo the bits, you know?
I did that in high school, too.
Yeah, and it was just... Bye-Bye was a...
Bye-Bye was a fucking scam because...
And then it was like, bye, all the different ways.
Bye-Bye. Yeah, yes. And then people would do it after that, and I swear to God, so SNL back then was... You know, you didn't... I wish I had Monday on my Yahoo News. They'd show... This SNL sketch was so funny this week. And it stays alive that way. If you don't watch it, you go, well, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And
that's how I see any of them now.
Yeah, exactly. You're not really probably up that late watching, and maybe not. But you get to see them and you sort of get to feel what's going on in the show. And it's always the best sketch. So you go, oh, this is good. And so when we did it, if you missed SNL, you had to wait 6 months for a rerun.
Yeah.
And so you had to watch it or VCR it. And so that was it. And so like watching Motivational Speaker or watching Chippendales or watching any great sketch, you're just on the side with an Amstel Light and you go, fuck, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. Or Sandler doing Crazy Spoonhead or something. You're like, fuck. You just go, that's a killer. Saw it at read through, it killed. Saw it at rehearsal, killed.
Yeah.
And as advertised, it fucking crushes again. And then you just go about your business and you just don't know because there's no internet, there's no Instagram, there's no feedback.
It's totally different.
And then you go, I hope that one worked. And then it takes time and it works. You know, people like what they like. But Bye-Bye was one where we did it with Helen Hunt. And it was sort of like, once you got the joke and the concept of it, we just writing, and it was a good cast piece.
Yes.
Say, here comes Sandler, here comes Farley. And it's shit on everybody as they walk out. And we would all laugh during rehearsal. So we all liked it. And then the next day on American Flying Home, they're like, Bye-Bye, Bye-Bye. Yeah. And then literally at least 10 years, every time I flew, someone said it.
Yeah.
And to this day.
Well, it's also a brilliant it's a simple concept and as a pitch, but you're giving this, like, there's jokes where you give the audience the formula, like, hey, you go, you can do the joke too.
Yeah,
you
know, true.
So it's like, it's one of those jokes where if you see somebody, you can do it at home, and then if you see anybody, you can go bye. So like every time you leave a flight, you'd hear it.
Yeah, because they, and then my buddy's wife worked for American. She goes, now they show it in our training to say, this is our perception. We have to change it. So they show the whole sketch, and then they go, we can't be like this. And then Delta did it. So now I hear all the ins and outs of flight attendants. They all, and believe me, to this day, you go in the back, they take a picture, they give you whatever you want. I get an extra 2 ounce water. They give you whatever they can.
Yeah.
What do you need? Headset. You know, they're always nice. I love it. Even when I flew to that Seattle show, Bobby Miyamoto is my opener, and we fly together. We have a great time. And we were on the, I just go, we got to take the earliest flight because I can't miss the show. And so many are canceling.
Yeah.
And flight attendants, I was like, thank you for coming. You know, thank you for just showing up.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, I know, I could have called in sick. I mean, I do have COVID. I'm not calling in sick. I go, thank you. I appreciate
it. It's really cool of him.
See, I worked that in.
Yeah.
Bits. You have been bitted.
You haven't told me though. Who was the shitty?
There was, you know, there's a couple go-tos. I heard them say in the newer days, Paris Hilton was tough.
I heard that.
I heard Bieber was tough, and I like Bieber. I've seen him out, and he's very.
I like Bieber too.
Conscientious, like he seems. I had dinner with him one night, mostly because of Sandler, but we saw him at an award show, and he's like, "You guys want to go eat?" And we're like, all right. I mean, I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
Fucking, I want to see Bieber and see what he's all about. Very nice kid. And
he's been through a lot. Come on.
Yeah. That life, you know what?
Insane.
Went through the thug life for a little bit, you know, the tats and the fucking craziness. But he got married. I think he was trying to like just turn into the skid and just go, fuck, be married. He's a bit of a Bible thumper, which I think is nice.
He is? Know?
Yeah. I've heard that. And
you too, right? You're always like Lord of the Cross, like sign of the cross.
I mean,
like,
in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I am. I am very spiritual.
Are you?
People wouldn't think that, but I am.
You are spiritual?
I think I have to be, yeah. Can't make it through this fucking life. I keep looking at the camera. So glued to it, like Cindy Brady. Do you remember Cindy Brady froze up?
No.
The Brady Bunch, they put it on a show, and she was like this. They go, don't let the cameras. And she's like, no problem. And then the cameras, she goes like this. She got hypnotized, and they go, you fucked it all up, Cindy.
Did you ever hear, or were you there for Seagal?
I know. I keep not saying Seagal.
Why?
I have said Seagal, and then I felt bad.
Why?
Because
the terrible
I know
person.
He has no like squad backing him up.
Yeah, but I know.
I feel like I'm his only guy.
He does have the KGB. They fucking like him.
First of all, he's terrifying. Second of all. Yeah. I might have been warned not to talk. No, I didn't. But I tell the story and I said his name and then it got picked up and now it's hard to get away from. But I will say, I thought he was cool. I've seen the movies. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You watched him. You loved it.
Yeah. When I was a kid.
Yeah.
Mark for Death. Out for Justice.
He'd always have boobs in him, which is great. You know.
Yeah, he always like, fucked somebody up.
Yeah, he fucked the
like
shit out of
people.
In all what I wanted to do in life. I was always getting picked on.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to grab someone's hand and break it backwards casually and then stab
bang
him
some
or,
shit.
Yeah, and then
yeah.
fuck his wife or whatever. Yeah. Whatever they do. I mean, I don't want to give the whole movie away. Yeah. But there was a bunch of those. And then there was one on a ship. What was that one?
Under Siege.
The cake. Yeah,
Under Siege, good. Where he fucked all the sailors.
He fucked all the stewardess. Well, you know, whatever. Every movie he fucked all the whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever's peppered around.
Yeah.
Workers. And then he came on, but he just goes, I don't want to do like too many corny things, and you know, on SNL you have to sort of roll with the punches, and everyone means well. We had the greatest writing staff looking back, and performers, and
so it's not like real. I always imagine when someone's like, I don't really, no one's like snarky about it. They're like, oh cool, like whatever.
Well, we go, you know, Lauren, it takes Lauren, it takes Jim Downey, it takes people to go in there and say, you know, you just have to try to trust us that no one, it doesn't help us to make you look bad. We That would be a one-shot deal, but we wouldn't get the publicist to get the fucking stars on anymore.
Yeah.
You can't shit on your guest every time and then no one will come on. So with him, I think it was just the monologue was kung fu fighting and and he had to sing it. And he goes, I'll talk it. And we're like, it's funny that you go, hi.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There was little Jack Chan from Little China. Hi, here comes the big boss. Where? Let's get it on. And you're into a brand new trick. It's such a, by the way, the song is great. Mm-hmm. Just on a side note. And so he goes, I don't want to do that. And we're like, but Kung Fu fighting, just the idea if someone says that, you don't even know what the monologue is. You go, oh, that sounds funny.
Yeah.
That he's doing it. And if you just sort of cornball it up and wear like a gi and why the fuck would I do that? And we're like, well, it's going to be an uphill battle. Yeah, you know, it's stupid. You're going to look and we'll put like a fake fucking 2x4 and you go, chop.
Yeah.
And he goes, but I could kill everyone in this building. I'm like, well, we know. But it was sort of like that where he understood, but he didn't want to not be cool. And I get that. But I have to say, I liked having him around that week, and I hate to say it, but it was kind of cool dude walking around and just a badass. And then, you know, so I said he was a bad host, and then I felt guilty. But there was a lot that just meant well and just didn't click. It's one take. If you have more than one take, you would do better. I've started a scene, like the receptionist or something, we're like, hi, welcome. And in rehearsal, I'm like, oh, fuck, start over. And then you're doing the live show, you go, hey, and it's going, and you're like, God damn, there's just no going back. And you don't get that first laugh, and you go, fuck, we started on the wrong foot. Just go back. Because in a movie, you do it as much as you want.
Sure.
And if you could just get two takes, that show would be better.
There's that, I don't want to see it all the time, but I do love, I used to love when I watched it more, when you can see that someone's really trying not to break.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that one with you and Farley, and I think Sandler's sitting next to you, and he's doing, you know, like the van guy. He's being like, so you could tell, I'm sure in my head I'm watching, I go, he dialed this up for the you are breaking. You're like,
there's like one with Christine Applegate where I'm for sure laughing, and but it was really do not laugh,
right?
Like get fired,
right?
So you did not want to, and it made it worse because he was doing tricks at a rehearsal and we'd seen him do motivational speaker because he would just do it around the office and it didn't get on right away.
Mm-hmm.
So he would go, hey, how are you? Good. All right. But he would do it and grab you and shake you. And then he goes, I hear you're out smoking doobie. But he would do just different versions of it where it's so funny.
Yeah.
And so you don't know which one's coming.
Yeah.
And then he goes, David, I'm going to try to make you laugh. And he would like get close and just bump your head. And what the fuck are you doing? Like in the middle of the live show. Or when he gets sideways with you, he crosses his eyes. So he's like this so they can't see. Uh-huh. And he goes, you go. But Will Ferrell did that to me once. We were doing a scene when I hosted. And he had a cap on like from the Army, you know, like one of those Canadian Mountie hats.
Yeah.
And he goes, are you yelling back at me, boy? And I go, no, sir. And he goes, doof, with his hat. And I go, what the fuck? Like hits me in the face with a hat. And I'm like. But it sort of throws you, which is the fun.
Yeah.
So, but Farley was obviously just really fun to see and do all that shit. So when he did on the air show, I think he was doing someone's belt or he was just doing his stupid shit. And it would crack us all up. And so, but you know, in rehearsal, Dana, I remember one time Il Cantore, I didn't ask Dana this, but there's one Italian restaurant where they're all trying to fuck Christy Alley.
Mm-hmm.
They're all the waiters are so like, oh yeah. Bellissima. Oh, right. And they're like, the guy's like, hey fella. I think it was like Phil Hartman.
And
like,
it goes way over the top.
Yeah, they all come over and dry hump her. And,
yeah. Start licking her face.
Yeah. It's and the censor's like, don't do this. And they're like, yeah, we'll see what happens out there. But you can only do so much. But those are fun and you know, we'll talk to all those people. It's fun on the podcast because you just say, hey, remember this sketch?
Sure.
And then there's like 5 minutes they remember about some.
Neilan's in that sketch.
Is he in Il Cantore?
Neilan.
And we talked to Neilan and on his show, on his episode. I basically just repeat his old jokes to him.
Dude.
Because when he said the other one where he goes, I always botch them. He goes, I was putting a lobster in a pot the other day. And you know, that's a live animal. And I said to myself, this is wrong. I can't do this. This should live a free life. So you know what I did? I got my car. I went out to the woods. I let him go. Because you got to do the right thing in life. And the crowd goes like this. Did you say woods? You're supposed to put him in the fucking ocean. So he has so many of those just
and
stupid
he's,
jokes.
He's funny. Stupid. We went on walks. It's like you pass by people. He's like, hey, there you are. And they're like, what? And then he'll go, like, the next group of people are going, he goes, oh, they're looking for you. And they're like, what? And he always catches them off guard. And it's just for you. It's just for you.
He does do. We were on the Lights Out, and there was a all these, you know, like plants thing, and at the commercial he goes, "Are you gonna eat this salad?" And then look down, it does look like a salad, and but then he just looks away and stares off, and I go, "That was pretty good, God damn it!" I'm sitting here for 100 shows, I never noticed that. And then the next person came out, I go, "Are you gonna eat that salad?" They're like, "Get off me!" And I go, "I have to do it now."
Oh shit!
Oh, fuck.
Were you in? Because this was like, it was, I so idolized you guys. Were you in Farley fast friends? Like, were you, was it like right away?
It was
away?
Pretty quick. Yeah. Yeah. It was that Omni Berkshire that I've been plugging that I work for now.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tag. I don't even know if it's still there. It was the old SNL said, like the Hyatt tweet tweet. They showed like a promo.
Sure.
In the old days, I thought it was so cool. This was the one they put us up at, me and Schneider. And I remember going, "Schneider, did you have soup?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, it's fucking $9 for soup. He goes, "So what? They're paying." I go, "You know Lauren's going to see that." So I thought we'd get fired.
For ordering soup?
Yeah, because they put us up and they let us, and you'd eat. We had like, I don't know how much money to spend, but all I was thinking was getting fired, everything.
Yeah.
So the first day I walked over, I heard they hired. So I did my four shows. We went away for the summer. Got hired back. So we had to get an apartment, come back. And then they said they hired Chris Rock and Chris Farley. They had auditions over the summer. You heard, oh, they auditioned in Chicago. And, you know, Rock was, I think, Brooklyn or whatever. Sandler. They have good stories about that. Chris Rock has good audition stories. He said Dana Gould did better than him. So he left. Oh, after really? His audition, he left. He goes, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And he got it. And so I go there, and then I'm walking out, and I see Farley. So I go, "You want to walk over?" He goes, "Yeah." So we just walked over and laughed and talked, and then we got there, and it was sort of, we were all new in this together. And he's like, "Davey," because we knew Dana Carvey was going to be there, and Mike Myers, and all the big stars. Phil Hartman was a great performer. Oh, Neilan was there. And also, you don't realize that Conan O'Brien is a great writer. And you're going to go compete in a weird way against Greg Daniels, who did The Office. You know, these are great fucking writers.
Yeah.
Smigel. And so there's so many good ones, and Fred Wolf and Jim Downey and so Franken. So I'm doing a sketch, and does everyone want it to be in? Does all the writers want mine to get in and then theirs is out? You know, that's, you forget that.
Yeah.
So everyone's trying to be on their great guy syndrome, but you can't really pull too hard.
Right.
And so it reads, if your sketch starts bombing, everyone's glad to step out on that one.
Oh, really?
This one's not the one everyone loves?
Oh.
Okay. Oh. Because there's 44 you read.
Yeah.
And maybe 11, 12 get picked, and probably 8 make it.
Right. So it's got to be especially gutting, though, to be one, if you make it to the 12, and you're like, oh.
Sickening.
Right. And then it doesn't make it to.
Yeah. You're at rehearsal. You set it up. You direct it. You do everything, which I also don't know how to do. What kind of table would they have in the receptionist? I go, just a table. I'm just thinking of the jokes. I don't know. Mm. Would it be like more of a Z gallery? Would it be all glass? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is what a director does. I go, oh, I could never do this. just fucking rack my brain with this stupid shit that when the sketch bombs, no one goes, good table.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Nailed that. So one thing you had working for it. Couldn't get the comedy part of it.
Is that Restoration Hardware?
Resto. So anyway, I do it, and then you get to dress. Dress is at 8 o'clock with a full audience, exactly the same. They film it, full makeup. So you're sort of doing this twice, like doing two shows a night, which I hate, and that's why I don't do sold out shows every night. So I go, I do the first rehearsal, I get off, and then one time I had all this Yakov Smirnoff shit on. And they go in a room and decide the show, and they come out at 11 and tell you. So the show's at 11:30. So you're on the whole weekend. 11, door opens, and Dennis Miller walks out. He goes, you can take the fake beard off, Spud. Didn't make it. I'm like, all my makeup and eyebrows and fucking, like, walk back to my dressing room. Now I'm not in the show at all. So I have to call everyone. I'm not in. Don't stay up. And then the sickeningest is the live show.
Uh-huh.
Things are fattening with laughs, and I'm walking down the hallway running, and they go, Gap Girls is cut. You just collapse on the carpet like Platoon. Ah! Because the show went too long.
Ah, yeah.
I think Anna Gasteyer was telling us that there was one that was, you know, like a 5-minute sketch. And
yeah.
It was going long. They go, we're going to cut it. And they go, nope, get out there, Anna, get out there. And then they go, okay, start. And she goes, hi, welcome. And they go like this. And she goes, welcome to the show. We don't have time. She said something like, it wasn't even a minute. She just did it and just had to get out.
Wow.
And then they just cut. And then they go, da-doom. I mean, it's good nights.
So. Yeah.
And then I'd run up there.
Hey.
Stand next to Tom Hanks. Stand next to whoever.
There's a lot of big hugs.
You know, I stay in the back. I try not to be too gross about it.
Like how you feel like you, when you watch that, you're like, oh, that would be like a cool experience. The sign-off thing. You know,
until
like,
you go to hug someone and they look the other way.
Really?
And everyone watches.
Yeah.
On camera.
And they're like.
Yeah. I just stand there back there with Adam or something. We just go, act cool. Because it was too embarrassing. Because the host will eventually make it to you. Or the music.
Yeah.
It's always better to go for the music first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A little tip for you.
Yeah, okay.
Is that your checkbook?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a phone.
Yeah. I have an old man phone.
What do I get for this?
This? Yeah. You get $1,500.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, don't make it out to me. Make it out to...
You have a corp?
Yeah.
You have a funny corp name? We can cut it. Really?
Yeah. I actually need a name for my special. Go.
You know what mine's called? Uh-huh. We can cut this. But it's called...
Shut the fuck up.
I swear.
Dude. All it I is. Heard was, now I can't use it.
It is.
As I'm on my way to the trademark office. Yeah. Wait. That's hysterical. Goddamn.
It's fun.
Do you have one? What's it called?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Well, okay.
You can't.
It's. I have a few, but that
How
one.
How many do you have? And do you sell them online?
Do I?
Your specials.
Do I sell them online?
Do you sell them online or do you like a Netflix special?
I've done Netflix specials. I own one thing 100%, an audio thing, an album. Mm-hmm. And then I own the audio of one Netflix special that was right before they got smart. And we're
holy
like,
holy
oh,
fuck. I'm
guys...
like, how did you worm that
yeah,
shit?
Yeah, now they're like, no.
Yeah,
so
I can't even imagine.
They don't give you
that.
Any audio anymore. Yeah.
Maybe Netflix will buy my comedy special.
Actually, they might.
I think it's such a fucking rip. I was like, God damn. They go, we're going to air it once at midnight. I go, who the fuck's watching that? And then we have commercials. So you have to make another edit that's 44 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, because that sucks.
So I go, they don't see the whole thing once and I got to burn that material?
Yeah, it sucks.
Get fucked. Yeah.
Wait, I got to ask you this too before. Yeah. I'm so mad I'm going to forget things. Because I just imagine this has to be so scary. And that is, you took a shot at Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Famously
mistake
in a joke, but he called you.
Yeah
But isn't that terrifying?
Oh, it's fucking, I get diarrhea thinking about it because I was spraying the walls all of Chris Rock because I was with Chris Rock
when he called.
Yeah. Chris Rock is my ride or die buddy for years, and even to this day we still talk all the time. And you know, these guys are like one of the funniest to talk to when comics aren't being funny. They just say things that are just clever and funny while they're telling something serious.
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys, but I was in the writings. The quick stories, I did a joke about him. It was stupid, but you know, whatever. I thought it was kind of safe. I didn't know because he always did it, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't give a fuck really because I was trying to get on the show. They kept saying they might fire me. So I'm like, and then when I did Hollywood Minute, Lauren goes, funny. That's all it took.
Yeah.
Dad liked it.
Yeah.
Then a week later, I would go chunks of 5 shows. I wouldn't be even on anything. And he goes, maybe a Hollywood Minute this week? I'm like, yeah. Are you asking me to do something on the show that you're going to probably put on? Do it again. And then Odenkirk would help me write it. Bob Odenkirk, another fucking writer.
Amazing.
Another. Can you believe it?
And such people like who just know him from Breaking Bad and Salt don't know like how...
He's
like,
a great writer. He's a Mr. Show.
Yeah,
he's
unreal. Really great writer.
And he's a good performer. And
and
he and Conan... We're supposed to be on and they weren't. They weren't getting on. And you're like, wow, I can't believe it. But so Odenkirk would help me with that first Hollywood Minute and then did it and then it worked and I did another one. And then I just started going, I don't give a fuck because it was kind of funny. Someone that was an unknown blonde kid from Arizona, like going, hey, look, hey, Harrison Ford, you fucking asshole. Yeah. I mean, there's something funny about that. Obviously, it doesn't matter. And I'm just like, but everyone with a mistake gets one misstep. You know what I mean? Then I get to make fun. But I try not to grind too hard. Just one quickie. MC Hammer was having trouble. I go, do, it's over. And stuff like that. Downtown Julie.
I remember that.
That was a good one. Downtown Julie Brown. I go, wubba, wubba, wubba. My career's in trouble, But, and we'd all laugh. And yeah. I never like watched the carnage and realized my career could have trouble.
Yeah.
You asked me like how lucky I was. Yeah. I knew I was lucky and I knew I was lucky at Tommy Boy, but Tommy was another one where you're shooting it and flying back and forth. Like right now they don't do fucking shit. Like people take months off to do movies. Right. We were fired. Lauren is producing Tommy Boy. We can't miss a day of work. So we fly back and forth to Toronto.
Seriously?
Yeah. We went back and forth. So we'd miss 2 days, come to read through, go back, come back Friday, Saturday, leave after the show, shoot Sunday.
For months,
yeah.
Same with Black Sheep?
Black Sheep was easier. It was in the summer.
Okay.
But on Tommy Boy, we thought it was hilarious, but we'd never been in a movie. You know, we did Coneheads together.
Yeah.
But when we finished it, and then it came out number one, but it wasn't like a huge hit. It really made, yeah. One time someone from Paramount goes, oh, that movie made us at least $100 million on video. I go, are you shitting me? They go, it's everyone that goes to the store just throws it in. And they said it again, like, 3 years ago, they go, oh, that's one of our top five of all time. I said, that's something you really want in your life.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize I was lucky because Black Sheep was next summer. And the next summer they were talking about doing a Gap Girls movie. And I just go, I think I want to take the summer off. Like, it's so hard to get a movie made.
Gap Girls was so funny.
Thank you. That was funny. That was when I wrote. That was wrote from scratch. So,
dude,
I will tell you,
that's another big one that we would, you know, immediately copy like on Monday.
Yeah,
you know,
one of my favorite moments of writing is a most proud moment on that show is probably Lay Off Me, I'm Starving.
Oh yeah. Oh,
because that was the t-shirt. I mean, it's just like,
yeah,
to write it and it works perfectly.
Yeah.
And like he says it during like rehearsal, or he says it and you're just watching, or you're at lunch and he's like and you're trying to incorporate all those funny things.
Yeah.
And then I go, why don't you pick up my fries and just grab me, and he goes, no, you'll cry. I go, no, just, but you don't have to fucking kill me.
Yeah.
But he's like a monster, you know. Yeah. He doesn't know because he's going for the best joke, so he has to grab my neck, and just to coordinate it all, it was just hard to do. And he goes, lay off me. And he did it so perfectly. Yeah. And sometimes when he's talking, fries would spit out like it was, and me and Adam are just going, oh my god. And that one worked. And
and you guys as girls is just so fucking funny.
And then,
man,
the girls didn't like it because they're like, there's not enough parts for girls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have a great idea. What if we play girl? But we were like, but doing a Gap Girls movie was a quick thing because there was a Paramount deal and I already had two movies that were out, and they were like, what about a, and I was like, I don't fucking know. And wearing the nylons and the nails and wigs and shit in the summer, I just don't know if it was that funny for that long. But with Sandler and Farley, it would have been great.
Yeah.
And Schneider or something, but it went away quickly. It was like, nah, I don't know. And then you realize later, who's giving you a movie when you want at your fingertips? Like,
crazy.
That is so fucking lucky. And now still, luckily Netflix, I got the wrong Missy. Luckily I still do stuff and it still goes okay for me, but.
Which I told you.
It's hard.
Was.
Oh yeah, you hit me up.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That shit was so, because here's what it was. Like, trailers are rough, always. Mm-hmm. And I think comedy trailers don't.
To get it right.
Yeah, I think you watch a trailer and you're like, all right, like, a lot of times in comedies, especially big comedies,
it doesn't sell it.
It just doesn't sell it, you know? So I just went to watch it like, all right, let's just
try it.
Yeah, let's just
try
it.
That's kind of what people did. They go, Spade and this, I don't know, let's try it. I'll rate it R.
And it was really funny. Really funny.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, from the get-go, that girl,
and
Lauren.
What's her name?
Lauren Lapkus.
God damn.
So good. I read it, and I think Sandler was like, this might be good for you. It's not you driving it, you know, it's you driving it. But like, even in Grown Up, Sandler wasn't the funniest one. But I like that. I like that Jason Bateman, like Ben Stiller, like in Meet the Parents, he's like overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And I go, that's a tough move to play. And I don't do it all the time. But if I can be kind of nice and I'm just in over my head. And I said, if we have the right girl, it's all her jokes.
Yeah.
And then she added to them. So she was so perfect. She was an improv girl and she would add and we would talk. I would try to throw her stuff, but she didn't really need it. She was so good. And then Schwartzman was funny and Schneider was funny. And you go through it and every scene, I remember shooting it halfway through going, we still have to do the shadow thing. We still have the sharks. And this stuff was pretty funny. If we did the threesome, this might link together funny. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
You never fucking know.
But the thing about that kind of movie and you playing that role is that it doesn't work if you're not playing that well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're not playing overwhelmed and like, oh, what's happening?
Let it spin around me.
If you don't let it happen. Yeah, which is like, exactly. If your reactions aren't, they have to be kind of more contained and real because you have the over-the-top person around you. And I think comics, you know, you're like, I want to be bigger or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really funny.
And steal the scene. But I'm like, on this one, I can't do it. It's got to be her. It was sort of like Tommy Boy in the way that I had a force next to me. Like Lauren was very funny. And the more you react, it's half the battle. It's not funny unless you're reacting to their doing their show.
Yeah. I mean, I do a podcast with a drunk guy every week, you know?
Bert.
Yeah.
Oh.
All I do is watch him.
Now, how's the search going for different hosts?
Today went really
well. Is this
an audition? Yeah, this is good, man. Wait. You got to finish.
I'm Super Joe Podcast. What do I got to do?
You got to finish the Eddie story.
Oh, Eddie.
You're with Chris.
I want to say Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy was offended by this joke that I did on Hollywood Minute.
And how long did it take?
It took not long.
Like the next day?
Did it Saturday. Sunday we have off. Come in Monday and they go, Eddie Murphy is calling you. Eddie Murphy is calling. The Eddie Murphy, my favorite maybe of all time.
Yeah.
Raw, delirious.
I mean, come on. The movies.
You get it. And the movie. His mistake was he did like Haunted Mansion, something else that didn't make $300 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, now is my chance. Going for the kill.
Yeah.
Jugular. So I make a light joke, but it's in the middle of 10 jokes.
Yes.
Couldn't think a fucking thing about it. No one said, I wouldn't do it. No one.
Right.
Eddie Murphy's on the phone for you. I go, Chris Rock's reading the paper. Eddie? I go, would that be the real? And he goes, it's about the joke. I go, it is? He goes, there's nothing else it could be. I go, God damn it. So I go, in a meeting, even the page was like, and then I go in the writer's room to hide, and they call in there. Eddie Murphy on the phone? I go, can't find me. And they go, okay. And they go, they say, he knows you're not in the meeting yet because the Monday meeting's at 6. Oh my God. And you're waiting around because the host is always late. And if not, he's coming down here to talk to you from Brooklyn. Rock, I'd pick it up. So I go, God damn it. And so I go, Rock, help me. So we went in the offices and I go, I'm going to pick up this phone. You pick up that phone and listen. He goes, what am I going to do? I go, just be a witness. You can save me. You can jump in if you want. So I look over and they go, hold for Eddie. And I go, and Rock's like this going. And they go, he starts by going, you dumb motherfucker. It was just from the get-go. I couldn't, it really like dropped my heart. It was sickening.
Yeah.
And I didn't, I'm not saying I didn't give in. I gave, I was overly apologetic.
Really?
I wasn't trying to be tough. I wasn't trying to be cool. I said, dude, if I could even get a word in, obviously one of my favorites of all time. It makes me sick. This bothered you. Won't happen again. But it was like, I'm off limits. I wouldn't have a, you wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for me. He was going off on, I just hit a nerve. I hit a nerve.
Damn.
And then I hung up and Rock, I saw Rock.
Like, good job.
10 years later at this concert and he was with Eddie and he goes, you know, I can't talk to you if I'm with Eddie. I go, God damn. He goes, he still hates you. And this went on. He like actively brings it up. And then by the time we, this is kind of an old story, but anyway, I saw him and we made up.
You did?
Yeah. And then we went to the 40th anniversary and we talked and he was a stud. You know, it was just one of those things that I almost hate that he has to hear the story because it's just one little blip thing.
No, I know. To me, it's just like, I think as a comedian, you look like over the course of your career, I've said so many things and that you don't go like, why? I deeply believe in this and that's why I said it. Like, you're just like throwing this out there because it might get a laugh.
Yeah.
And for like one of those darts
to
hit and to have somebody come back at you.
Yeah, it was rough. And you know, before when I did my, after Hollywood Minute, when I'd go back and host, they go do it again. There was something less interesting about someone in the business with them that's friends now.
Yeah.
Sort of have my own career and doing stuff. It seems, because I see the other side, it's tough.
It's
and
tough,
I go,
yeah.
I see why it hurts people. Yeah. These motherfuckers.
It's, you know, start rapping. It is.
Start rapping. Okay. I said I hit him. That can't be what he means.
That's not what he means.
Okay. Anyway, you were great. You did a good audition for me.
Thanks, man. Yeah? Would you do it again?
This was a blast.
Yeah?
First of all, I know I joke. Super funny. Great guy. Nice.
Thanks, man.
I appreciate that you do so many things and make all this money and are so successful because it gets people off their ass. Not everyone can do it. It's very hard what you do. You've been putting a lot of work. But it wakes people up to go, you're breaking ground, you're doing new stuff, and it's fun to watch. It's great.
Thanks, man. I'm a huge fan of yours. I never would have thought when I was coming to those class on Monday, reenacting your guys' stuff, that I would ever meet you guys or get to talk to you. It's awesome. So thank you for coming.
Listen, that $1,500, I know you're going to take.
What do you want to do with it?
I know $100 went into the set.
Yeah.
So you can take that off the top.
Okay.
And you have two sets. I like that you bothered putting a million pictures of yourself out there.
When I didn't do that. They're just fans.
You're people that work here.
Yeah. They're just like, I love
fun.
Your stuff.
This is fun. Tell your lovely wife, I said hello.
I definitely will.
And make her listen to this back to back, top to bottom. We did this for an hour or something, and it's going to make a good tight 12-minute show, I feel.
I think easily.
Just some light trims.
Yeah. And then also $600,000 I'll get for this.
God, you motherfucker. Well, I'm in the wrong business, and the worst thing is I'm in the same business. All right, guys, I got to run.
Right,
give me a head
run.
Start. I got fans out there.
Okay.
All right. Bert and Tom, Tom and Bert. One goes topless while the other wears a shirt. Tom tells stories and Bert's the machine. There's not a chance in hell that they'll keep it clean. Here's what we call Two Bears, One Cave.